Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
WTLC AM, W224 DI, W236 CR, Indianapolis. It's time to discuss the important topics happening in and around Indy. It's Community Connection with Tina Cosby, brought to you by Child Advocates. Your voice, their future. On AM 1310, 92.7, 95.1 FM, The Light.
And good afternoon, and welcome to this very special edition of Community Connection. I'm Tina Cosby, and we are coming to you live from the Indiana Convention Center and IBE Summer Celebration 2022. We are here at the Black and Minority Health Fair, actually just across from the Black and Minority Health Fair, where our live broadcast sponsor for today is Eskenazi Health. It is Friday, July the 15th, and we've been looking forward to this day all week, and now that it's finally here, we are excited, folks, and ready to go. We have an incredible lineup of guests for you to hear from this afternoon, from education to healthcare to social services and much more. Everyone comes together for summer celebration. Many of our guests are going to be joining us from that sold out IBE corporate luncheon this year, which is in the process of wrapping up. I just heard what was on the menu and it's made me hungry. So guess what? That's what I'm getting after the show today. But anyway, Indiana Black Expo Summer Celebration has always been such a special blend of corporate and community participation. And our first guests really magnify that and are real examples of that and more. They are from the Crystal House Academies. And Crystal House Academies is an international educational institution. But we've got three campuses right here in Indianapolis. And I was told as we were talking before we went on air that it is the city of Indianapolis's oldest, longest existing charter school, right? Or maybe I didn't say that right, but it's been around the longest of all the charter schools in the city of Indianapolis. Crystal House has been a sustaining presence for 20 years or more. Or is it exactly 20 years?
20 years.
Yeah.
20 years. I've got guests. We've got some that are going to talk with us, and then some will wave to you. Hi, how are you doing? Okay. And our guests today are Christian Gomez. Christian is the enrollment specialist for Crystal House Academies, and Kayla Marshall, who is a talent specialist at Crystal House Academy. So, Kayla, Christian, welcome to Community Connection. Thank you for being here.
Thank you
for having us.
We have had a wonderful conversation already. We got a lot of business accomplished right before the show, didn't we?
Exactly.
We did.
Yeah, indeed. So, tell us about summer celebration and the Crystal. Well, first of all, tell us about the Crystal House Academies for those who may not be aware. Even though you've been here for a while, some may not be aware. So tell us your story.
Yes. So Crystal House Indianapolis is a public charter school network here in Indianapolis. So we have two academies, one K through 12 and one K through 8. And then we actually have three adult high school programs called Crystal House Doors. So we have three of those campuses also in the Indianapolis area.
Oh, so my numbers are off.
So we technically have more than three campuses. So it's two academies and three adult high school programs. But the thing with those is two of our adult high school programs are located within the academy.
Yeah, I see.
The campuses. And then we have a satellite campus at Ivy Tech Community College.
So for someone who would want to ask, what do you do? What do you do there? What is your specialty at Crystal House?
So as the enrollment specialist, I work closely with our academies, K through 12. Recruitment, enrollment, and just helping families enroll and transition into the schools. And then also pretty much the same thing with our adult high school program. So recruiting these them transition into the program.
Yeah. And so Kayla, you have a great job
yes.
in terms of what you get to do every day. Tell us a little bit more about
right.
that.
I mean, recruiting is everything, right? So I try to figure out strategic ways on how to bring staff in and then also how to keep and retain our staff and keep them happy. Mm-hmm. So we've been having a pretty busy recruitment season this year and we're pretty much ready to start the school year pretty well.
Who are you looking for, Kayla?
like you said, we've been around for 20 years now, and we want to keep the legacy going. So we really want staff that is dedicated to the mission to, you know, keep empowering our students and just add on to our legacy.
So can you complete this sentence? A Crystal House student is...
An amazing student.
Okay.
An optimistic student.
Okay.
Best of both worlds. We accomplish a lot, and I feel like our teachers really do prepare our students to just go out and be great.
Yeah. So you also have programs for students who may not have completed their education up to grade 12. You have an adult education program as well. Tell us a little bit more about that.
So not only do we serve pre-K through 12th grade or high school at Crystal House, but we also serve adults 18 years or older. So we're educating the youth all the way to, you know, individuals in their 70s. But there is no cutoff.
70s. You weren't joking when you said that earlier.
No, we were not joking. No.
So you had someone in their 70s come back and finish high school.
Yep.
So did they complete it?
Yeah.
Oh, great.
So there is no cutoff. It's never too late to graduate. So yes, we serve adults 18 years or older at our Crystal House Doors campuses. We have three campuses, as I mentioned, on the near west side of Indianapolis, on the near south side, and then central as well. So that program, we welcome adults 18 years or older to come back and get their high school diploma. And it's a completely free program. So
I was going to say, what are their requirements to attend?
Yes. So the only requirements we have is that you're at least 18 years of age and anyone who doesn't have a high school diploma. So we offer the actual high school diploma. So it's different than like a GED or an HSC program. Uh-huh. But we also accept individuals who have already completed the GED program to come back and get their high school diploma as well.
So what are the requirements for students to enroll at Crystal House?
For students K through 12?
Pre-K through 12. What are the enrollment requirements?
Yeah, so we are a public charter school, so we actually enroll through Enroll Indy. We do have limited seats available, so we accept all students, not just in our surrounding areas, because we do provide transportation to all, pretty much all surrounding Indianapolis areas. Mm-hmm. So with being a smaller school, we do have limited seats available, but to try to give everyone a chance, and we welcome everybody. We enroll through Enroll Indy, and we actually hold two lotteries to fill our seats each school year. So we ask our families to apply for our lottery. So we have two rounds of the lottery, as I mentioned. And we start enrolling accepting applications for our lottery as soon as November. And then that goes on through April. So we're accepting applications from students and families all over Indianapolis. And we match our students through the lottery.
So is there still time for students to apply, and is there still time for folks interested in working for the Crystal House? Is there still time to apply for that?
Yes, so
the school year.
Yes, so the school year's coming up. Our first day of classes is August 2nd. Our lotteries have closed, so our last lottery was in April. Mm-hmm. But we do have some seats still available. So we do offer summer and late enrollment, and those seats are filled on a first-come, first-served basis.
Okay.
So any seats that we have available, we're still able to fill. As I mentioned, we enroll through Enroll Indy. So anyone that's interested in enrolling or seeing what seats we have available can visit Enroll Indy at enrollindy.org.
Okay, Enroll Indy. And Kayla.
Yeah, staffing.
Staffing, yes.
We're always open. We always want new talent. So, you know, whoever wants to come aboard, like I said, we need people to keep the legacy going. So if you're interested, contact me.
Specific openings and specific occupations that you're looking to fill, or the specific jobs you're looking to fill?
Yeah, of course. I mean, we're always recruiting for teachers. But as of right now, we really and truly need some instructional assistants. Those are teacher aides that pretty much just help and assist with content knowledge within the classroom after that teacher teaches. So you're going to be doing like some small group pull-out work. We also need a couple behavioral specialists, student support specialists, and we even have positions open within our network. A lot of people think, you know, just because we're a school, we need teachers only. That's not true. We're hiring for HR positions right now.
Yeah.
So we need a mix of everybody.
Yeah, support staff, administrative, mm-hmm. Classroom, everything. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So tell us a little bit about Crystal House and Summer Celebration. You know, you're well represented here today. There, I mean, you two are here talking, but there's one, two, three, yeah, three. Well, we won't count Andrew. Several more that are here as a result of the event today. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, I think at Crystal House, one of our missions is also to, you know, be a diverse staff for our student population, who is also very diverse. So over 50% of our students are Latinx, and then about the other 25 and 25 are pretty diverse as well. So we have a lot of white students, a lot of black students, and we have students from all over. So we're a very diverse student population. So we want our staff to represent that as well.
And I mean, typically, like you said, with this event, exposure is everything. So, you know, I'm black, my co-worker, he's Latino.
Me too.
Yeah, I mean, we want everybody to be exposed to literally everything. That's why we're at this conference.
Yeah, yeah. Summer Celebration is such an incredible, and I was saying, it's an incredible mix of community, you know, the corporate, educational, medical, everybody comes together for this this cultural celebration. And with today kind of being in full, the first full day, I guess we could say.
Mm-hmm.
It's really exciting. And that luncheon that we were talking about that we pulled you out of, I'm sorry, but you did get to eat, right?
I got to eat.
You guys know what? We were talking about this, and I'm gonna divert a little. They had fried chicken today, right?
They did.
Where am I? Whenever I go to a luncheon, it's always chicken smothered under something, or what they call it, the rubber chicken. Mm-hmm. Whenever I go to a luncheon, it's always that. I never get fried chicken. Mm-hmm. You guys got fried chicken.
Uh-huh. It was delicious.
Oh, yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you for rubbing that in. So, by the way, if someone is still interested in enrolling their students, or as an adult enrolling at Crystal House, and if they're interested in possible employment, give us that information so we can put it on our website, because we do want to share that.
Yes. So I guess our main hub would be chindy.org. So that is our main home website, and you would be able to find any employment opportunities, but also information about Crystal House Doors enrollment. So you can also enroll online at our chindy.org website, and also find an outlet to enroll Indy for Academy enrollment K-12.
Yeah, indeed.
So chindy.org.
And Kayla, any, you know, final thoughts, that final push to get some more folks going?
You know, same thing. Jump on that website, but hey, shoot me an email at kmarshall@chschools.org.
chschools.org.
Mm-hmm.
You'll answer. And you're hiring right away.
Hiring right away.
Music to my ears. I love it. Indeed, indeed. Thank you both so much for being here, and enjoy the rest of Summer Celebration.
Thank you.
Corey, thanks so much for having us.
Thank you, indeed, indeed. And we'll be back with more Community Connection right after this.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Let's get back to the conversation. It's Community Connection with Tina Cosby from Isaacs and Isaacs Injury Lawyers, WeWin.com Studios on AM 1310, 92.7, 95.1 FM, The Light.
And we are back, coming to you live from the Black and Minority Health Fair at Indiana University. My goodness, I got Indiana University. I did go there. We are here with Indiana University. We're here at IBE Summer Celebration. Just wrapping up the IBE Corporate Luncheon. We are directly across from the Black and Minority Health Fair at IBE Summer Celebration. But just here with some very, very distinguished guests from Indiana University. We have IU Vice President James Wimbush and IU Trustee Jeremy Morris. Welcome. Welcome, welcome, Dr. Wimbush. Welcome, Trustee Morris.
Thank you.
Glad to have you with us. Attorney, right?
Yes.
Attorney Morris. So how's it been so far today? You're both smiling, so I guess lunch was good.
It's been a terrific day, particularly since Coach Mike Woodson was one of the honorees.
He
received the Sports Award for his distinguished career, as well as for what he's doing for Indiana right now. So it's been a terrific day for the university.
The university's got to be especially excited to have Mike back, because he was part of such a magical era, a winning era. We all like that. But just an all-around good guy, though. And that's not being biased. He really is.
He is. He is genuine. He is humble. He is one who is a doer. And when you look at his distinguished career, you will see nothing but accomplishment in the NBA, and now he's bringing it to the college level. He is just a magnificent individual, and we're just so proud he's one of our alums.
Yeah, you're going to hold on to him for a while, aren't you?
Oh, absolutely.
You're going to hold on to him for a while. So what's going on? I was asking both of you, is today, did you get any business in today? I know it's a good mixture. Indiana Black Expo is always a good mixture of corporate and communities. But in terms of the melding of the corporate and community, what are your thoughts on that? You know, as you come back year after year, what are your thoughts on how corporate and community are working together?
Well, certainly President Whitten, our new president, she's not really new anymore. As of July 1st, mm-hmm. she had completed her first year, but we still think of her as new because she's brought renewed energy to what we're doing. And one of her priorities is to have greater engagement with the state. And she has worked very diligently to meet with our corporate partners, mm-hmm. to discuss ideas with our partners. And so I think that in addition to what she has already done, we're going to see a whole lot more on the corporate engagement side and the community engagement side, especially with the community. It's been exciting for the university, and I'm excited for where we're going.
Yeah. The university is involved in so many things. One of your areas of specialty, of course, diversity, equity, and inclusion. What can you share with us about what's going on at IU?
Oh, my goodness. I get excited when I talk about it.
I can tell. We can tell Attorney Morris.
So, you know, I've been on the President's Cabinet for 16 years. Mm-hmm. And in the 16 years of being on the cabinet, it's not until this year that there are other people who look like me.
Oh.
And so for 16 years, I have been the only one in a diversity role, which I cherish dearly, as well as dean of the graduate school. But to have other individuals who look like me, attorney Tony Prather, who is from Indianapolis, along with Dwayne Pinckney, who is our executive vice president, and Vice President for Finance, to have others on the cabinet who look like me demonstrates that we're committed to diversity, and it signals to the whole university community that our commitment is sincere and that we want throughout the university to have the diversity. So I'll start there, but then the next thing that excites me is that President Whitten has worked to diversify the faculty. Within 2 months of her starting, in September of last year, she announced a $30 million diversity faculty hiring initiative. It's a 7-year initiative to diversify the faculty on all of our campuses. I will tell you that for the first year, it has gone exceptionally well. We'll make an announcement in a month or so. We always have to make sure everyone shows up. But we will be bringing in the most diverse group of new faculty than we ever have in the 202-year history of the university. And so there are so many exciting things happening at the university that will lead to greater diversity. To have a diverse cabinet and a diverse faculty, it will lead to more diversity of our students, because families want to know that they're coming to a place that cares about them and that will provide opportunities for them. And seeing diversity in the administration and in the faculty helps to reinforce that. So we're excited.
And you're talking about more than just the facade, just the picture.
So exactly.
I think that's one of the biggest things we see sort of in the DEI conversation, mm-hmm. Is it talk or is it action? And you know, I think people have for so long heard the lip service and they've heard the promises of things to come, but over this past year it's been an administration of action, right?
Wow.
And putting words to action and making those things happen. And so not only, you know, you have a diverse cabinet, you have a diverse set of board of trustees. You also have what's ingrained now and falling down from a top level down to every aspect of the university, from IU Northwest to IU South Bend to IU Bloomington to IUPUI and all of our campuses. So it's an initiative that is taking a lot of work, and they're doing a dynamic job of making it happen. But it really is, it's time for action. I think we saw over the past couple of years that, you know, our young people are forcing that conversation to take place in various ways. And, you know, Indiana University has stepped in and has listened on all of our campuses to make those things happen.
As a trustee, that's got to be music to your ears.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Yeah.
That's part of why I wanted to be part of the Board of Trustees. You know, I'm one of your elected trustees of Indiana University. One of my reasons to be on the board was not only to lean to that conversation of diverse perspective and thought, it's generational perspective as well. It's representing those that look like me, those who are of my era. And bringing that to this board, it has been a phenomenal experience over the past year.
Yeah. And Dr. Wimbush, you were wanting to weigh in on it. I can tell you were. Go ahead, please.
Well, the over the years, the university has certainly made efforts towards increasing its diversity and making for a better climate for its faculty, staff, and students. But it's not until you diversify the cabinet that you're able to truly signal that you're serious. And that was what President Whitten did. When she came in, came in talking about her priority of diversity. Well, all new presidents do that. Mm-hmm. And I listened to that and I thought, oh, okay, let's see what she's going to do. In my first one-on-one meeting with her, and this happened before she officially started, she asked, from my perspective, what were the needs of the university? I said, well, we need to have a diverse cabinet because Black people can do more than just diversity. And so we need a more diverse cabinet. She says, well, we have lots of opportunities because a lot of transitions and vice presidents, and so I'll work on that. And then I said, we need to diversify the faculty, because if you diversify the faculty, you are in essence creating a pipeline for campus administrators who will look like me. And you would also signal to families that IU is a place for their students who are from diverse backgrounds. And it seemed as though before I could even get back to my office, I was getting a meeting invite to meet with her, the chancellor of IUPUI, the provost of Bloomington, the person over the regional campuses, to talk about a diversity initiative. We had several meetings. She was in every single one. And I remember we were in a meeting when we talked about the ideas that we had come up with. And someone commented, I hope we can do some of this year. And she says, oh, we're going to do this semester. And so it was only a few weeks later that she announced the diversity hiring initiative, and it is going so well. Yeah. She has already signaled to me we will have a staff initiative and we will have a student initiative.
Yeah.
She's serious.
Yeah. And you know what? Again, and I like to say this because it's, to me, it's important that people understand. Diversity is understanding differences. Diversity is different schools of thought. Diversity is different people and different voices with a seat at the table. All of that comes together as one. And it sounds like all of those pieces are being put into place beautifully at Indiana University.
So I have a little thing about the whole seat at the table thing.
Uh-huh.
Because oftentimes you see the invite, right? Some people are invited into the room or to the table to talk.
Right.
Or or invited but not allowed to
talk,
right?
Exactly.
Or to have some type of value. And I'm shifting that from the seat at the table to a voice of value, right? Something that is going to contribute significantly or to be heard seriously that will allow stakeholders at all levels to sort of, we always talk about that move the needle, adding value. Uh-huh. This is what happens when you have voices of value at the table.
Voices of value. Shifts. I love that. And you know I'm going to steal that from you. You know I'm going to take that.
I am too.
Voices of value. Because that's important. I just don't like for it to be the term diversity to be, I don't know, devalued, so to speak. Because so many people take it the wrong way or devalue it. And it's so important to get it right. Because it is, as a lot of business places, it's good for business. It's great for business. But it's absolutely necessary to proceed and to grow.
Correct.
It's absolutely necessary. Yes. Gentlemen, thank you both so, so very much.
Thank you.
Are you going to be here the rest of the weekend?
Oh, of course. Of course. This is so much fun.
You're right. It is. Starting with today, a great, great lunch. And, well, please visit with us again because we're going to be down here and we love talking with you. We love having you as a partner, as a sponsor, because we're very proud of that. I wish I could say I had something to do with it, but, you know, coming from IU. But, yeah, I think Indiana University is in great hands, and it does sound exciting. It's making me get excited.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you both so very much.
Thank you.
We got some of your colleagues coming on just in a few minutes, I do believe. Let's see. Do you know who's next? Okay.
We have several of our chancellors who are here, representatives from the other campuses.
Okay. Well, you know what? Dr. Wimbush, would you like to introduce them, or you want me to? Let's see who's coming.
Let's see. We have Chancellor Ken Iwama, who is the chancellor of IU Northwest.
Uh-huh.
We have T.J. Rivard, who is at the IU East Campus.
Okay.
And we also have Susan Elrod, who is the chancellor of IU South Bend. And so we have just wonderful representation from all of our campuses here with us today.
Wow, I love it. I love it. We're going to get to talk to them. You know what? Maybe we should take a break and get everybody situated. So if Ethan can give us a quick little commercial break, we'll get everybody situated and we'll be right back from the Indiana Convention Center.
Let's get back to the conversation.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
It's Community Connection with Tina Cosby from Isaacs and Isaacs Injury Lawyers, WeWin.com Studios on AM 1310, 92.7, 95.1 FM, The Light.
We are back with Community Connection, this special edition of Community Connection, coming to you live today from the Indiana Convention Center, site of this year's IBE Summer Celebration. We're directly across from the Black and Minority Health Fair and talking with our good friends at Indiana University. And no, I did not set this up because I'm an IU graduate. Y'all can say what you want, say it if you want, but I do love talking to people from IU. Can't help it. And plus, they're good partners. We love being in partnership with Indiana University. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to have each of our distinguished guests introduce themselves because they're from all parts of the state. And so let's start down here at the end, sir, Mr. Rivard.
Sure. Hi, my name is T.J. Rivard, and I'm serving as the Interim Vice Chancellor for Academic Affairs at the Indiana University East Campus, which is in Richmond, Indiana.
East in Richmond. Okay, thank you. Welcome, Mr. Rivard.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Susan Elrod, and I am the Chancellor at Indiana University South Bend in South Bend.
In South Bend, okay. Yes.
And I am Ken Iwama, Chancellor for IU Northwest in the great city of Gary in the Northwest region of Indiana.
Okay, now, you know what? We were having a conversation. We're going to get to some business in just a minute.
Okay.
But we were having a conversation because being an IU grad, I was curious about this too. The regional campuses, some are named for where they are, and then others are, what do you call it, directional? How did all that happen? Explain that. Can you? Oh,
I don't know if I can explain it.
He's been here the longest.
Okay. Everybody's pointing
to
you.
We'll defer to that.
So the only thing I can say is that when Herman Wells founded the campuses, he named them, and so Some of them ended up with directional names, and some of them ended up with city names.
Isn't that
I don't know why.
Yeah.
You know, I suspect some of it had to do with the communities. Input. So I know that the community of South Bend was very active and engaged in establishing the campus in South Bend, and so perhaps that had something to do with it.
Yeah, okay, that could be. Yeah. So each of you are from different parts, you know, you're at different campuses across the, you know, different places across the state. Are there different functionalities or focuses for each of your campuses, or are they all pretty much the same? And again, we'll start with you, Chancellor.
I wouldn't say we're the same. I think we have a different demographic. We serve our regions, and that's our primary purpose, is to serve the regions that we live in.
So the regions, you serve the needs of the regions,
right,
where you're located.
Exactly.
Okay.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Right. If I can add in, so we all have a kind of a set of counties that we call our service region.
Uh-huh.
And so we really focus on the students in that region, then the economic development, talent, and workforce development needs of that region. I say all the time, our students are from here, and they stay here when they graduate.
Oh.
And that is, in fact, true. Over 80% of the students at IU South Bend are from that service region, and over 65% of them stay when they graduate.
Very much unlike Bloomington, where it's like, boom, you're gone.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. How about you, sir?
Well, along the same lines, you know, I think you've hit to some of the, you know, the really core to the value of the regional campuses, how we distinguish ourselves from some of the institutions of Bloomington and IUPUI, is that what Susan Elrod was talking, Chancellor was talking about. Mm-hmm. It's that personalized touch, that local touch for Emeryville students, mm-hmm, our commuters. You know, we don't have residence halls, so we really do support, you know, the students from our local high schools and our local region. So, and our mission, you know, is similar. We're one IU, but we really do cater to the more personalized touch, the smaller classes, mm-hmm, the individualized attention that the demographic and cohort of our students really gravitate to and want, frankly.
And can anyone summarize the one IU concept? Because we hear that a lot. We are one IU.
What? Go give a shot.
So I guess, you know, we're all
Chancellor Obama keeps passing down. Down there,
I'll take some back.
Okay, you'll take some.
So it's one university, and so when students graduate from IU South Bend, they actually graduate with an Indiana University diploma. They get an Indiana University degree. So that's one way that the one IU is embodied. We all are committed to the same excellence, the same focus, the same commitment to, mm-hmm, the state of Indiana. Mm-hmm. And so I would say that's one way that we all embody the one IU idea.
Indeed.
Yeah, we embrace it. You know, other institutions across the country may try to carve out their own regional identity. We do have those.
Yeah.
But our power is being affiliated also with IU. Right?
Yeah.
And so even in our mission statement, you know, we specifically mention, you know, we have the beauty and the power of that small institution leveraging the power of a larger institution. So I think we have the best of both worlds.
Any friendly competition among the regional campuses?
Oh, heck no.
Did you hear that?
I heard that tone.
I would say that we are inspirational to one another.
Okay.
Aspirational. We share a lot of strategies, and we share programs. We share lots of things, and so I would say that we are an inspiration to one another to do better, to serve our regions in better ways.
Yeah, absolutely. We're here at Summer Celebration, of African American culture that's been around for a number of years here in the city of Indianapolis and the state of Indiana. And I was just wondering what your respective campuses do or programs that are in place. We just finished a good DEI conversation with Dr. Wimbush. Any particular special recruitment efforts underway,
well,
in terms of not only African Americans but people of color? So.
Since I've been kicking it down, I'll catch it right now. So just recently we became a Hispanic Serving Institution designation, and that is groundbreaking.
What does that mean?
That means that over 25% of our student body, percentage wise, identifies as Latino Hispanic.
Love it.
But by virtue of that designation, we're also designated as a minority serving institution. So we're not only Hispanic serving institution, we're a minority serving institution as one of the most diverse campuses across the state. And so one of the great benefits for that is that we are now eligible to apply for government funding that only HSI designated, MSI designated, can apply for. And so we recently got a $5 million grant for our campus to support first generation and students of color, as well as all our students. So talking about support of students, and the nature of our campus and the demographic of our students, a lot of energy.
Yeah, indeed. And so you say it's groundbreaking.
It is, because we're the only four-year comprehensive institution, public institution in Indiana for that designation. There's some private institutions that have an HSI designation, but we're the only public institution across
Indiana. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Great. Well, I'll chime in to say that at Indiana University South Bend, we have a special focus on 21st century scholars.
Oh, yes.
So we have some new programming. I've got a grant in collaboration with our local community foundation to really focus on not only supporting 21st century scholars who are enrolled at IU South Bend, we have over 300 21st century scholars who are students at the university, but we're also in partnership in the schools to get more students enrolled in the program. You and listeners may know that you have to sign up in eighth grade.
It's eighth grade. Okay.
And then you got to stay on board with the program all the way through high school. And so we've put a community network together of the higher ed institutions, the high schools, the other K-12 institutions, the community organizations, the 100 Black Men of South Bend is involved as a mentoring organization in this project. And so we're really excited about the opportunity that that provides to bring students, not only students of color, but low-income students to the university because they get that great tuition benefit.
Yeah, and again, that's more diversity other than just what you see. Yeah. There's a lot of different, there's economic diversity.
Absolutely.
There's a lot of different diversity. So, Chancellor Rivard?
Somewhat the same here. We're reaching out all the way down into the grade schools. We just had over 300 third graders on our campus this summer. Most of the students in our region are on free or reduced lunch, and so that economic piece is really important to try to recruit and get them used to coming onto the campus, getting them used to the idea of going to college. Many of our students are first generation students, and they just we have the story of students who just circle the parking lot because they're afraid to come into the building.
So
things like this help us just make it a friendlier place to come to.
So how many students are at your campus?
We have about 2,500.
2,500, and
we have about 4,200.
4,200.
We're about 3,700.
3,700. So quite a few students to manage on a day-to-day basis, and the campuses have a variety of offerings, correct? Yeah. Not every campus offers the same thing.
Right.
No, in fact, just to follow up on some of these conversations, another thing that we're doing, our campus is perfectly situated for this. This year, one of the best programs, if you ask me, at IU, which is the Group Scholars Program.
The
Groups Program. 50 years of
Is it still going strong?
Going strong in Bloomington, but we're, as a regional campus, we brought the program to IU Northwest, and so our first class is starting this fall. I mean, they're actually starting right now in a summer bridge program. But, it really reflects the diversity because it's a program that was created to support first-generation students of color.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And with our students, it's just perfect alignment. And
yeah.
So we're happy to bring that program, again, for that support that you're talking about.
Yeah, indeed. What about Upward Bound? Is that still a program?
It is. I would say I think that we participate in the community with sites that have that program.
Uh-huh.
But the thing I was going to add on, different programs. So we're all comprehensive universities, which means we have all kinds of four-year degree programs. But many of us specialize. For example, we have a College of the Arts. And so very proud of that at IU South Bend. And so I think while each of us has those, like English, the sciences, business, teacher education, health sciences, we wouldn't be an IU campus if we didn't have health sciences.
Exactly.
But then we have specialized programs where each one of us kind of diversified. And so we're very proud at IU South Bend of our Racklin School of the Arts and the programs. We've recently branched out into opera.
Wow.
Wow. So being at an event like Indiana Black Expo Summer Celebration, that's got to be a big help in terms of getting the word out? You were nodding.
Yeah, I mean, you know, being in Eastern Central Indiana.
Closer to Ohio more so than Indiana.
Right, right. Much closer to Ohio, and it's rural. I think we may be the most rural campus of all of IU. And so coming to something like Black Expo is really important because the recruitment of underrepresented students is extremely important to us, and we have tried to work with implicit bias in many ways, and by allowing our admission standards, not our standards, but our requirements to we no longer require the SAT or the ACT test. And what we've noticed is that we've had an increase in the number of African American and minority students in general on our campus.
Fantastic. Dr. Elber?
Yeah, I think all the regional campuses are using that test optional admissions. So that's really exciting for us.
What's the latest on the SATs and the ACTs? I mean, I've heard it all over the map, so you are educators, you're professional educators.
I think institutions all over the country are dropping test requirements.
Yeah. Where does Indiana University stand on that? And why are the institutions dropping it?
So actually, just right before the pandemic, the trustees passed a policy that would allow campuses to go test optional. And so that was kind of handy because then when the pandemic came, it became really important for us to reduce the barriers for people to come. And so we, as regional campuses, have kept that policy going, and I don't think there's any looking back. We see also at IU South Bend an increase in minority student applications and enrollments. We think it's hard to say exactly that it was correlated with that, but we've definitely seen an uptick.
You know, I love that the when you talk about obstacles for students, and really when we get back to your original question about the Black Expo, you know, this represents to me a part of that, right? Because to remove obstacles is also about really impactful alignments with our communities. And when I came here today and seeing, you know, the Gary, head of our Gary Chamber of Commerce, and seeing one of our members of our Board of Advisors who also worked for NIPSCO for just retiring after, and so, you know, coming here, you're also coming home to your community because the community members are here.
Yeah.
And that, to me, is so critical, the part about the obstacles, because it's the students, but it's the parents, it's the community, seeing that our regional campus are places that are anchor institutions, as we call our stewards, a place within our communities.
Yeah, indeed. Are you guys hearing this? This is Indiana University, you guys, okay? So this is all good stuff. We've been bringing you great stuff for the last 20 minutes from Indiana University. And again, no bias intended.
No bias intended.
Anything you want to add before we have to let, I think you have some more of your colleagues here?
Yeah, we have a few more colleagues coming up.
Okay, we want to share the microphone with them as well. So anything you want to add before we have to let you go?
I'll just add that at IU South Bend, we have more than our main campus. We have a site in the community that houses our Civil Rights Heritage Center.
Oh, wow.
And it is in the place where there was a formerly segregated natatorium, a public pool.
Uh-huh.
And so we've turned that site of racial injustice into a place where we are in the community, and it's a site of education and healing and community activity and education for the students at IU South Bend. Go there and learn. And so I want to always give a plug for our Civil Rights Heritage Center because it's unique in the country.
I love it.
In that it's attached to Indiana University, it's in the community, it's in a place, a physical location that was formerly the place of a lot of pain for people, and it's reversing that and turning it into a positive.
Pain into a positive. I love it. Again, Indiana University. Thank you all so very much for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Enjoy the rest of Expo.
Thank you.
And again, those were more guests from Indiana University. I'm gonna get off the Indiana University thing.
No, don't.
They're telling me don't. But I just wanted to let you all know we are still in our special edition of Community Connection. Come on in. Come on in, our special edition of Community Connection, live from the Black and Minority Health Fair at Indiana Black Expo Summer Celebration. We are so happy to have everyone here. And in continuing with a common theme that we've had the last 20 or 30 minutes or so, we have Indiana University here with us. So please introduce yourselves.
Sure. I'm Dr. Susan Chumegazeki, and I am currently holding two roles, but I'm transitioning out of one. So I'm the chancellor of the Kokomo campus, one of the regional campuses that you just chatted about.
Uh-huh.
And we have an incoming chancellor, and I'm taking on a new vice president role where I will pretty much manage some of the activity that will be going on in the whole state of Indiana, attending to some very critical issues that we're faced with in Indiana and how Indiana University is going to try to address those.
Yeah.
So I can share some of those later after we get an opportunity to chat.
Okay, go ahead.
Hi, I'm Karen Dace. I'm Vice Chancellor for Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion at IUPUI. I'm also a faculty member in the Department of Communication Studies, and I have an adjunct appointment in Africana Studies.
Okie dokie. Well, DEI, common theme. We've had a little bit of a conversation with each panel that we've had from Indiana University. So, and plus it's appropriate because we are at Indiana Black Expo,
right,
you know, Summer Celebration. So tell us a little bit about the DEI.
Well, you know, there are so many things going on at IUPUI around DEI. I think as this, you know, urban serving institution, it is part of our mission. Actually, it's diversity is part of our mission at IUPUI. So just about everything we do, we try to weave it in. But one of the things I really wanted to talk about was the Indy Achieves program, because I want folks who are Marion County residents to know.
Let's talk about that. We hear a lot about Indy Achieves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful program that will fill in the gap for financial aid, right? So we know people apply and they have this unmet need.
Uh-huh.
And we know that the number one reason for folks not continuing on is financial. So if you are a Marion County resident, Indy Achieves will cover that gap, right?
Yes. Whoa.
That's right, and that's why I really wanted to talk about that.
Yeah, well, keep
that.
Talking. Keep
yeah,
talking.
Yeah, that's right. So talking. Once you're admitted and you fill out your financial aid form, if you are a new student at either Ivy Tech or IUPUI, we work with you. You get a mentor. You get a coach. But we also, the Indy Achieves program from Mayor Hogsett,
yeah,
they cover that. What that part that's missing.
And this is Marion County.
That's it. You have to be
a resident,
Marion County resident at the time of application.
Yeah. Wonderful. I love it. But you know, the other thing that we were talking about is how receptive and how easy it is for students who enroll at the various regional campuses of the Indiana University, because they all serve a specific need, specific community need.
Right.
And I'm sure there's similar programs for Kokomo.
Yeah, absolutely. But you know, the thing that I think is just so interesting about what was just stated about this opportunity, this scholarship opportunity, is just the recent data that's come out by the state of Indiana. And this is a crisis in the state of Indiana. And here's the data. The data says that in 2019, 65% of young people who were in high school went on to college. We're down to 53%.
Whoa.
So in just those few years, pandemic,
I was going to say,
lots of things impacted it, right? But that's a crisis for us, right? Because we're not going to be economically competitive if we don't have an educated workforce. So this program that was just discussed is huge, right, for Marion County, because young people can say, okay, it's not the money, right?
That's right.
So how do we get more young people to start thinking about going on to college? And so Indiana University has several programs going on, and one of them is we're all launching what's called the Indiana College Completion Certificate, or the ICC certificate. So this is dual credit that you earn in high school, and we heard about that at the IB luncheon, didn't we? How many students are graduating with some credit or an associate degree?
Yeah,
or
some of these
even
kids are getting out of high school into their
with
college
degree.
Yeah.
And so that's important because the credit is usually less expensive. It gets them started, we know that students who have college credit in high school more than likely will go to college.
That's
so that's the gap we've got to fill, is why are so many young people saying, And I think it's a lot about the work environment right now. You know, I'm in Kokomo, Indiana. We have 5 Chrysler transmission plants, right? You can get out of high school, make $25.
It's a family business, yeah.
You can make $25 an hour, but your options are pretty limited. You're going to be working on the line, and then what, right?
Yes.
Then where do you go when the recession hits, and it will, and the car industry goes down, and it will. Mm-hmm. So you try to educate young people that it doesn't matter. Is it a certificate? Is it an associate degree at Ivy Tech? Is it a bachelor's degree from one of the regionals or IUPUI? But we got to push young people to start thinking about, and their parents to start thinking about, you need that education, and the state of Indiana is in a kind of a desperate way right
now. You know, and some of your colleagues had talked about, shared a story about some of the kids that had just, or I don't know, potential students, driven around the campus over and over because they were too intimidated. They thought it was above them or beyond
them.
And so they were so intimidated, they were so afraid to even apply or to go in and look to see that it's been. How do we change that focus and that perception? Because a lot of people think that this is such a lofty thing, you know, too lofty for me.
Right, try to get into the high school. At IU Kokomo, we bring every 7th grader in our region. Now, we serve 14 communities all the way around us, so we bring every 7th grader through our doors so they can see what college
every
looks like.
Every 7th grader?
Every 7th grader from every school. We bus them in, so they get to see what college looks like, what it feels like. And if we have kids who are there from Peru High School, they're the ones who are leading the Peru kids around, right?
Yes.
And said, hey, look, I did it, you can do it, kind of thing. And they get to get a little bit of a lesson on something they might be interested in. They get an IU cookie, you know, and
that cookie.
And then we start, okay, now what are we going to do in 8th grade? What are we going to do in 9th? So we have a program, we have an app where students can, if they do college-going behaviors on this app, and they complete 80% of them by the time they graduate from high school, we give them a $1,000 scholarship.
Wow.
We give a $1,000 scholarship to any student in the state of Indiana who earns the work ethics certificate, which is a certificate that's promoted by the state of Indiana. Again, it's the same behaviors, right? You show to go to school, you show up on time, you do your homework. Anybody does that, we'll give you a $1,000 scholarship too. We just want to help our high school colleagues, our teachers and our principals and our superintendents and say, what can we do to help young people see that the next step is more education, not less education?
Well, I'm not such a young person, not so young, not one of those young, but there is a lot of what you just said as far as it worked for me, because I remember my aunt, she was more like a sister, but anyway, she was my aunt, and she was a student at Indiana University, and she used to come and get us take us there, and sometimes there was something called Little Ken Weekend that they had, and then sometimes she'd just come and get us to go and stay with her, and I remember, you know, it was fun to pick, you know, roll up the sleeping bag, and I was just so taken with how beautiful the campus was, and I was thinking as a younger, I want to go there.
That's where I want to go.
And I ended up, you know, going there, but had it not been for the exposure, and, you know, conversely, I think it's important for when people are trying to expose young people to college to explain how much exposure they're going to get to other things, because don't worry about what you're going to major in. Career path has to be charted out. Throw that out the window, because the first day you set foot on that campus, you talk about diversity, schools of thought, you're going to be talking to people from, across the pond, everywhere. So, you know, your options are going to be just blown wide open. And that's part of the excitement of going. So if we could figure out a way to bottle the potential excitement that you can experience on any college. But, you know, of course we're talking about IU.
I think the story that you're telling is one that is so important for all of us, that if we can get kids to campus early. Right?
Yes.
So that they can see what it's like, you know, they can see, let me say, food is so much better than when I was a student.
Yes.
Housing
is good.
So much better than when I was a
student. Yeah, it's all better.
Right?
Yeah.
It's just better.
Well, they do. I mean, they do have better food.
We've got, farm to table, and it's just a beautiful, this facility, right? But, you know, I think about one program in our School of Informatics. I still am not quite sure what that is. But we've got high school students who are coding.
Oh, right? My goodness.
They are learning this. All these kids are going somewhere to college, right? And they're very diverse. Black and brown kids in IPS and surrounding districts.
Yeah.
And they are learning to code in their schools from folks who are on the faculty in informatics. And then they're coming to campus. And we've got folks in our in the School of Informatics who then sometimes take them to conferences. I'm just so amazed that they were telling me before the pandemic about a trip they took 40 high school students to Atlanta for a conference. High school.
Wow.
Right? Yeah. And so I think it's those experiences.
It does. Yeah. It does make a difference. Yeah. You know, when you get them, the sooner the better. You know, when they're impressionable. So that when you're driving past the campus, you're not at campus.
Yeah.
You're not thinking, well, I can't go there. I can do that.
Yeah.
I've been there. I know what that's like. I've been at the cafeteria or I've been at the pool because that's one of the, you know, those are the two places I remember my aunt taking me to.
And, you know, the other thing that we've learned, and we've done a lot of focus groups lately with Hispanic students, is but a lot of first generation, I was a first generation college. My parents didn't go to college, and I was the first in my family to venture into a college. Didn't know what it was. I went to a community college in Illinois. That's how I got started.
If I can pin it right there, why? What you said you were the first. How did you become the first?
My parents were immigrants to this country, and they believed that education was your way out. So my father, with his broken English, I always tell our students the story, took me, and I said, Dad, I don't think I want to go to college. I don't know. I don't belong here. All those things. Very shy and introverted. And he said, oh, no, I'm a listening to that lady. You got to pick a five of classes. You going to go to college. You know, that's how I started my college.
I love it.
Pick five classes out of a book, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, had no knowledge of what I was doing, and he had no knowledge. And that's a lot of our students on the regional campuses and at IUPUI, too, that don't. But the one thing that we've learned is that from the Hispanic families that we've been talking to is they don't know what that means. So you say, go to college. And they go, well, what does that mean? Why would I go? It's expensive.
What's the point?
What's the point? Yeah. You got it. What's the purpose? And so now we've reoriented ourselves. We have a new Lilly grant where we're hiring somebody for each of the regional campuses to go into the high schools and to start with what we're calling career paths. Mm-hmm. So we have one program in Kokomo called Tomorrow's Teachers. Been very, very popular. Students in high school in their junior year take two college education courses that count towards the degree and two their senior year from our faculty who go to the high school and do these courses. And then they have now four courses towards education, and they get to know, okay, I think I want to be a teacher, right? Mm-hmm. Now we're going to do tomorrow's computer scientists. We're going to do tomorrow's criminal justice.
Yeah.
We're going to help kids see that we have a career path, right? That in order to be a police officer, you got to go to college, right? You got to do this thing. Or to be a nurse, you got to do this thing. So we're going to start on
that
careers.
Sure.
Got to have a purpose.
That's right.
Got to have a purpose and know where you're going. Right?
Yeah, I loved your story about parental involvement. Because here's the thing: when I was younger, my parents spoke English, but the English was, you got to do something.
Yeah,
you know,
everybody's going somewhere.
And you got to do. And not only it never occurred to me not to go or not to do something because you know you're either going into the service or you're going to do, but you got to do something. Mm-hmm. You can't just sit here.
But you know, we don't
know
that
children are getting that.
No, I hear
parents tell me, why would I go to college? Why would my kids go to college? I didn't go. I worked in the factory. My kids are too stupid. I mean, we hear these things. It's awful. It's awful. It's awful.
Yeah.
So we gotta help. Yeah. We gotta help high school kids understand that there's an opportunity.
So before I have to let you go, because I know you all have a whole lot more to do than just sit here and talk to me, because we could talk for a while. Anything you want to share with our listeners before you leave, and Dr. Susan?
No, I would just simply say that, you know, if there's anybody out there listening who has a young person, somebody in their church, in their school, and anywhere that they think needs to be touched on the shoulder, all they got to do is walk them into any Indiana University campus, and there are people there who care, who are passionate, who are purposeful, and who will. So just walk in the door with that young person. I have people do that all the time in Kokomo, and we just take them by the hand and say, thank you very much for bringing them, and we're going to get them to where they need to go. And I think you would agree that IUPUI would do the same.
I think you're right that at any IU campus you will find a cadre of people waiting for you and invested in your success, and those are relationships that you will never lose.
Indeed. And that has never been more true. Very well spoken. Very much enjoyed talking with all of you today. And I will tell you what, Indiana University walks the walk and talks, not only talks the talk, because you all are here in mass, and that says quite a bit, and we are so appreciative that you spent some time with us today.
Thank great to meet you. Thanks.
Let's get back to the conversation. It's Community Connection with Tina Cosby from...
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Isaacs and Isaacs Injury Lawyers, WeWin.com Studios on AM 1310, 92.7, 95.1 FM, The Light.
And we are back live with you, our very special edition of Community Connection today, Friday, July 15th. We are at Indiana Black Expo Summer Celebration, directly across from the Black and Minority Health Fair. I've been having a wonderful time talking with a lot of the folks that are going through the Black and Minority Health Fair Summer Celebration, folks that have been to the luncheon, which just wrapped up, including our next guest, who is Dr. Virginia Cain. She's the director of the Marion County Public Health Department. Of course, Dr. Cain is no stranger to Community Connection, and actually it's quite appropriate that we're talking to her, and we are directly across from the Black and Minority Health Fair, where Dr. Cain, no doubt, is going to spend a lot of time over the course of these next 3 days. Dr. Cain, welcome back to Community Connection.
Thank you, Tina. What a wonderful atmosphere.
Yeah, and you know what? If one more person comes to me and tells me about how good that chicken was at lunch today, I was like...
It was good, too. I'm not even starving, but it was good. Oh, my God.
Haven't had lunch at all, David. The Davids are here, too.
You know, a lot of places you haven't had lunch either, have you?
Yeah,
a lot of places you go, you know, the chicken size is small. I said, oh, they must think I'm a female. You know, I want that football player size chicken. And boy, I got that football player.
You got the big piece.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, good, good, good. I'm here to tell you. So, Dr. Cain, what is going... You know what? I got to ask you first.
Yes.
Monkeypox.
Yes, monkeypox.
Tell us about... You know, first of all, it's an odd name. Does it have anything to do with monkeys?
No.
Okay, that's what I thought. Okay, I've been saying the right thing.
It's related to animals, but not specifically to
monkeys.
Monkeys, yes.
Okay, well, go ahead. Tell us about monkeypox and what it is that we need to know.
So monkeypox is a condition that can cause like a flu-like illness, but it's also primarily associated with a rash.
Hey.
And this rash can present with looks like blisters or pimples that can appear on a body, and it is caused by a virus. And there's something called a orthopox virus.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a condition that can be life-threatening.
Really?
And cause an illness.
Okay. So we had your department, you were quoted in a press release a couple of days ago from Marion County Public Health Department that Marion County has... Indeed, is that correct?
Yes.
Identified the first couple of cases of monkeypox?
That's correct.
Okay, so what does that mean?
So it just means that, hey, you can have like a headache, fever, or chills, but you can body aches, your muscles will ache like nobody's business. Guys, I just got to announce this. I see Dr. Rose Mays out there.
Okay. We are live,
ladies
and gentlemen.
One of our leading national professors across the country associated with Indiana University.
I love it.
But, you know, most people may remember her as the wife of the late,
great
Bill Mays Chemical Company, whose daughter is taking over and doing a wonderful job.
Yes.
So what I will say is that... this is a life-threatening virus. You know, we had the Ebola virus just before we had this...
COVID.
We've had the Zika virus, Ebola virus, and now we've got the coronavirus. So this is another emerging infectious diseases that can be deadly and be life-threatening.
Yeah.
And it can impact anybody.
Yeah.
So when I will tell you this, it can hit pregnant women. It can hit any individual. Although lately we've seen more cases occur in men having sex with other men.
Yeah, I've heard about that. And the danger with that is releasing that information is that people may tend to dismiss it as it's just in this particular area, which is not true. Case,
but it's not in this definitely not true. Because we know we've almost now about almost 1,000 cases now across the country. And, you know, we've had over 11 cases confirmed in the state of Indiana, but it's going to be growing now.
Yeah.
Because you can transmit it through direct contact with materials that have been handled by another person with monkeypox. So, like, you know, bedding, towels, or surfaces. And so it's just so important to also emphasize how important it is that we need to be making sure we're washing our hands and doing our daily disinfecting our surfaces in our residence. So whether it's doorknob handles or refrigerator door toilet handles coming into your residency, that's important. And we know that it can be transmitted through the air. So that if you're within 6 feet of an individual and you're like intimate with that person, meaning like you may be kissing that person or you may be cuddling with that person. So if you're doing that for an extended period of time, that virus can transmit through the air and infect the other individual.
Okay, so what is the statement then that the possibility of transmission is low or infection is low? What does that statement mean when you talk about all these possibilities?
That it means that you have to have like a longer exposure in order to transmit this virus. So let's
you have to have sustained
exposure. Sustained transmission. So let me give you an example of the coronavirus.
Okay.
We have a very virus that has changed and adapted over time. We have this BA4 and BA5. They're very contagious. So if I was in a room with 100 people and I was within 6 feet of those individuals for greater than 15 minutes, I would infect probably easily 90 to 95 out of the 100 people.
Gotcha.
But if this was the monkeypox, because it is not as contagious, and it usually takes for exposure at least over 3 hours.
Ah.
So because it takes that long of exposure, the 3 hours, and being within 6 feet, so less people are contagious and it's more difficult to transmit it, and even when you transmit it, it's just not as contagious as the coronavirus that we have out there, that BA4, BA5.
Yeah, yeah.
The Omicron variant.
So speaking of the coronavirus, how are we doing in Marion County now?
So our cases are now starting to climb back up.
Oh, no, I don't want
to. So I hate to say that they are climbing back up.
Okay.
We're starting to see more emergency room visits. So back in June, we were down to, let's say about maybe 28 visits. Back in late June, 28 visits per day in the entire city. We're now almost doubled the visits. We're up to about 43 visits per day in the emergency rooms.
Oh my. What accounts for that, Dr. Kane?
Well, we have a much higher percentage of people who are infected but they have no symptoms, Tina. So you don't know that they're sick, and they're not aware that they're sick. So just by talking to someone, they're spreading an infection. They're unawares and not knowing it. And this is why we say it's so critical for you to be vaccinated for this COVID-19. You may have a loved one, a colleague, or a friend, or relative that may have a underlying medical condition that if they contract COVID-19, may cause them to be hospitalized. They could even end up being in the critical care unit on a respirator. So it's like prevention. You need to prevent yourself from getting infected. And so if you're up to date on your vaccines, up to date, it cuts down on 85% of the people who would have been seen in the emergency room and over 90% of the people who would have been hospitalized, 90%.
Okay,
now,
so
you say to yourself, well, why isn't it 100%? Well, this vaccine was designed against the original coronavirus strain.
Yeah.
And so it's not specific
right
for the Omicron vaccine. So for those people who need a booster, if you're not severely immunocompromised, I think you might want to wait, because sometime in September, October, one of the pharmaceutical companies are going to have a specific vaccine targeted against this particular Omicron vaccine.
Okay.
And so, and that's going to be way more effective and may have a longer immunity life.
Do you know if it'll be Pfizer or Moderna?
It's the what we're looking at. We think that Pfizer is the closest to getting it approved by the FDA, but
okay.
Moderna's not that far behind.
And so
I look to see by at the latest by October that these booster shots should be available for the general public.
And so if you had, like, say, for instance, if I had my last booster in December or January, I'm good to wait until September,
well, so
October.
Not only so now, if you're not severely immunocompromised,
no, I'm not.
I suggest that you might want to wait.
Okay, okay.
But if you're a cancer patient, transplant patient, maybe you've a renal failure patient, for those really immunocompromised or HIV patient, go ahead and get your booster now.
Okay.
And then you can get another booster like in November or December. I don't want you to wait.
Right.
Where you may get so sick you're hospitalized.
Yes.
But
so,
now if you're not immunocompromised, you're under the age of 50, okay? All right. I said nothing. You know, she gave me that eye. I don't know what that meant when I said if you're under the age of 50.
Ain't
I wasn't talking
to
about you, Tina.
Ain't talking to me. Oh, my goodness. So, Dr. Kane, very quickly before I have to let you go, look at all this paperwork.
Oh, I got to say some things about, I've got to talk about HIV, maternal mortality. It's not going to be long. But
okay, well, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
So,
but
hey.
Very
so,
quickly before we do, how are we doing in terms of African Americans in Marion County and vaccination rate? Are we
so,
okay? Are we so still at 35%?
We still have a long ways to go.
Okay, okay.
Especially with our African American population. You know, we are at about 36%. We should even easily be 70% or higher.
Yeah.
So we need an incredible work.
Okay, 36%. That's 1% higher than the last time.
Yes, because we're dying at twice the rate with COVID.
I know.
Compared to our white counterparts.
Still.
And we're hospitalized three times the rate as our white counterparts. Get that vaccine, protect yourself.
Okay,
we still have our work. We need to improve on this infant mortality. We're not having enough women get in the first trimester for their prenatal care. For African American women, it's just 53% of our black mothers, pregnant mothers, are getting in the first prenatal visit. And you got to get those prenatal vitamins, check for infections, do all those things you need to do in order to have a healthy baby.
Why are we not getting in, Dr. Kane, in a word?
I just can't figure it out. So
because it's not access to resources, because there are a number
there
of
there are enough accesses to resources that we need to get ourselves checked out.
Yeah.
So please, it's incredible. Get that visit, because it makes a huge difference in infant mortality rates. And encourage you to breastfeed, because that mom's milk has a lot of antibodies that protects her baby in that first year.
Absolutely.
So get that breastfeeding. So Latino mothers, they're about 90% of them breastfeed.
Wow.
Compared to only 75% of black women. And
wow.
So, hey, a big difference, but heart disease is our number one killer. Cancer is number two. Accidents are number three. And we, of course, you know, blacks have our homicide rate 7 times greater than anybody else. But the most important thing is, for the first time in the history, we may have the ability to eradicate, get rid of HIV in this country.
Wow.
There's a new drug coming out, just an injection, twice a year. That's 99 point some percentage to prevent HIV. So if you get this injection every 6 months, it's going to be approved sometime this year. It can literally get rid of HIV.
What about people already HIV positive?
So it's not going to help the people already HIV positive, but we definitely need to take care of the ones who to prevent them from getting infected.
So this and is preventative?
This is preventative. So we see about 250 some cases a year. Over 53% of those cases are in blacks. Okay. And even having females that are infected. So, hey, be on the lookout. We're going to have a major campaign related to this. But we still have some wonderful medicines, injections you can take every 2 months that will prevent you from getting infected. Come to our Bellflower Clinic. We've got HIV clinics across the city. And we have those medications available. If you don't like shots, hey, I got pills for you. You can take every day, too. Not a problem.
All right.
Just one pill a day. That's all you got to take.
Yeah.
One pill a day.
That's it?
That's it.
That's an amazing advance.
One pill a
day. Okay? Amazing advance in HIV.
But it's advanced because that one pill contains more than one medication. So, hey, you can't tell me.
Yeah, indeed.
The only thing that'll beat that is Omega Million and Powerball in terms of phenomenal achievement. Okay? It's a pleasure. It's always an honor.
Pleasure is mine, Dr. Kanan. I tell you what, you gotta come back and
to the show. I want everybody to do the screening they need to do for cancer. So don't forget prostate cancer in men, women, breast cancer, but everybody, colon cancer. So check it out. It's really key. And don't smoke. And get plenty of your fruits and vegetables. And my goodness, exercise, exercise, exercise.
And get your COVID-19 vaccines.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dr. Kane. And we'll be back with more.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Community Connection right after this.
When it comes to what's happening in Indianapolis, Community Connection is the best way to stay informed. Tina Cosby covers the stories that matter to you every weekday on AM 1310, 92.7, 95.1 FM, The Light. And now you can hear Community Connection whenever and wherever you like with the all-new Community Connection podcast. You can stay informed, hold our city leaders accountable, and look inside the issues that matter the most to our people with the Community Connection podcast. Download and subscribe to the Community Connection podcast with Tina Cosby, available at Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Let's get back to the conversation. It's Community Connection with Tina Cosby from Isaacs and Isaacs Injury Lawyers, WeWin.com Studios on AM 1310, 92.7, 95.1 FM, The Light.
And we're yeah, that's what we are live. It's live radio. We are here at Indiana Black Expo Summer Celebration. So happy to be here today on a Friday, July 15th. Coming down the home stretch. Can't think of two folks to do it better with than Jim Gavin, my homeboy from Madison, Indiana. Jim is the director of the communications and media for the Indiana Family and Social Services Administration. Welcome, Jim.
Thank you. You've been busy.
I have been very busy today.
I've been watching you for half an hour or so, and yeah, you've got a long string of very important people.
The string continues. It absolutely does, because sitting next to you and next to me, we put her right here in the middle, is none other than Antoinette Holt, the director of the Indiana State Department of Health's Office of Minority Health, and of course the Black and Minority Health Fair, where we are standing just outside of, or I should say we're sitting just outside of.
Yes, ma'am.
Antoinette.
Thank you so much.
No stranger to the show.
You're my friend.
So how have things gone so far?
So far, we can't complain. Doing good.
Yeah.
Doing good. So we're ecstatic. Numbers are
better than starting out than they were last year, because people are out to get out there. And definitely keeping up with the theme of Commit to Be Fit. So we're happy that people are taking part, trying to recruit everyone that's in the expo portion part. Our lovely visitors from Sigma Gamma Rho Incorporated.
Oh my goodness, are they here or what?
It's like telling all the beautiful blue and gold. I've never seen so much blue and gold, I'm telling you.
Unbelievable.
And then all our other lovely partners and people that are just in attendance, we're just grateful that everyone is coming out and being a part of it.
Indeed, indeed. Jim, tell us about FSSA. Oh my goodness, where do we start? Where do we start?
Yeah, well, how long is your show?
How long? So tell us about some of the most recent. One of the things I wanted to ask you about, though, it happened a couple of weeks ago and went nationwide, was the 988.
Yes.
That went live.
We actually had a press conference about that yesterday and about a number of other mental health initiatives, because there's a lot going on right now. But 988. A lot of people think there's a launch date tomorrow. It's actually a required day of readiness.
Right.
We're ready.
Because this weekend, everybody has to be ready by this weekend, right? But it became available nationwide, what, on the 16th?
It's been available here in Indiana
for a while. I'm sorry. What am I thinking? It's going to be, the 16th
nationwide.
Is coming. I'm thinking June 16th. July 16th,
yep.
Yeah, which is tomorrow. So everybody has to be ready. It launches this weekend.
Forgive me,
I got my scrambled eggs brain, you know. And I'm not really good with numbers either. That's why I do broadcast.
Well, the best news about this is that you don't have to remember as many numbers to reach a suicide crisis helpline.
Right.
Very similar to 911. I'm sure that's a number you know. Uh-huh. Because, you know, for years we've known that that's a number you can call for emergencies. Over time, 988 will just sink into your brain as the number. If you or somebody you know may be facing a mental health crisis or thoughts of suicide, that will be the number you can call going forward.
Yeah. It's a psychiatric and mental health, not just suicide prevention, not like all psychiatric. That is so needed in this day and time, especially with us just, you know, coming out of COVID, which a lot of people say exacerbated some of the issues that people were having with mental health and maybe started some, Jim. But 988 is going to be really valuable.
Yeah, we'll be getting the word out about that over the next couple of years. And so stay tuned and tell your friends and make sure that you share that number with your family, anybody that you might think may need it someday, and you never know who that could be.
So the importance of summer celebration, the health fair, to FSS, say that.
To FSSA, yep.
FSSA, I didn't want to say it wrong. So the importance of an event like this to the agency.
Yeah. Well, it's even taking on more importance this year because we're always in the health fair with Antoinette and her team, but sharing information about the benefits that are available through our agency to Hoosiers. This year we have a special event Sunday. For several years we've been embarking on this campaign that I'm going to call a conversation called Know the Facts. All about opioid and substance use disorder stigma. The theory that we have is if we can talk about it, if we can do a better job of talking about it within our communities, within our state, people will become more compassionate, more understanding about what addiction is. One of the people that's going to appear on this panel we're having on Sunday.
I think I'm going to be there.
You're going to host it.
I think I'm going to be there.
So when you talk to Gina Fierce from PACE Indy.
Yes, Gina is a good person.
I would imagine that soon after you start talking to her, she's going to make a very powerful statement that addiction is a health issue, not a crime. And that's something that we just need to talk about and make sure that people understand that the three things we've been talking about in this campaign, addiction is a disease, there is treatment available, and I can say that that's more true now even than when we started, and recovery is possible. And if you go to knowthefactsindiana.org or come to the panel here Sunday at 1, you'll be able to hear from people who are living in recovery and celebrating their recovery every day.
And you know, Jim and Antoinette, one of the hardest things to hammer home to people is that long-held myth that addiction is just a matter of you know, not having the
willpower
to do it, that you're weak-minded or that you're not, you know, you don't pray enough or what have you. It's really difficult to get the conversation going about the fact that it is indeed a disease. It's not a matter of willfulness or lack of willfulness. It truly is a disease that needs to be treated like most other diseases, like all other diseases. That's a difficult sell to make.
Yeah, and I'm not a clinician, so I can't, yeah, I understand. Can't really dive into brain chemistry and things like that, but I can tell you that in the years that I've been working on this campaign, uh-huh. it's become more and more apparent all the time how much support is needed. And so it's unfortunate if somebody who finds themselves addicted to a substance faces stigma within their own homes, stigma. Within their own work groups, within their own communities, etc. And so we feel that the more we can talk about this and the more that we can highlight stories of success, people who have gone through treatment, recovery, that stigma will, over time, begin to diminish and be reduced.
Yeah.
And so that's what we're.
And I think there's a new phrase out now about not only recovery but sustained recovery, because yeah. that gives a lot of people sustained long-term recovery. But Antoinette, I'm sure that and so many other areas are covered just inside those doors right there.
Yes, people could still come down up to Sunday at 6 o'clock mm-hmm. and get everything from mental health education. We have some horse snort effects in there in mm-hmm. the FSSA area. Then we also have other things that burden of disease and different things that could lead to certain mental things that are all connected, because it's all connected, the mind, the body, the soul. And so what we can do to make sure that we're offering opportunities that people have better choices, mm-hmm. have access to the necessary care and treatment and things that they need, and know what to do. So that's the importance of empowering people
yeah.
of doing that.
And so Jim, speaking of access and knowing, can you give folks a brief tutorial of exactly what FSSA does?
And sure, it's an organization that exists as a safety net in a lot of ways for Hoosiers who may have financial difficulties, may have physical and intellectual disabilities which cause them difficulties. We have many programs and supports that can help. I'll tell you, one of our programs that a lot of people might not know is one of ours, but a lot of people I'm finding have familiarity with it. If you have a tyke under the age of 3 with any kind of a developmental delay, it can be a speech delay, it can be a hearing problem, it can be something with a problem walking or rolling over, Indiana First Steps is an organization that a lot of people know, but maybe don't realize that's part of FSSA.
Oh, I didn't.
So that's, one of our little programs tucked away over there in the state neat. Building. So, yeah. The biggest part of FSSA, especially if you ask our chief financial officer, is Medicaid. Mm-hmm. So Antoinette, I was walking through and saw all of our Medicaid health plans, CareSource and MDYs, MHS, Anthem, they all partner with us on those health programs. So, and then mental health, we've been talking about it. Mm-hmm. The Division of Mental Health and Addiction is just a really important part of our agency. I probably left out about half of what we do. But
well, I mean, it's a broad umbrella.
Absolutely.
It's a broad umbrella. Yeah. And when you see FSSA behind so many different organizations or different, different titles, it's like, wow, how do you keep track of all of it?
It's, right. It's on my way pre-K. So it's a pre-K program for low-income Hoosiers, 4-year-old kids. So First Steps will take you up until you turn 3.
Okay.
And then parents out there, it's time to start thinking about school. If you have a 4-year-old who you'd like to get in the pre-K program, if you qualify financially, On My Way Pre-K.
I was going to say, what are the requirements?
I'm just going to generally say low income.
Okay.
And you have to be 4.
That's
an important one. You gotta,
we're not
you have 4 to be
anymore. 4,
you have to be 4 years old.
Yeah, you have to be 4
years old.
Yeah,
so it's really for those kids who are going to go into kindergarten in the, listen to this, 2023-2024 school year.
Oh, my.
Definitely. I know.
I can't even think to the end of 2022. So.
Those are the kids that that we're targeting for that program, On My Way Pre-K.
Yeah, indeed. So, Antoinette, special attractions this weekend. Some of the Steve, excuse me. Some of the I have had Steve on the brain. Steve's got
to
be coming around.
He must be talking to you or something.
He must be talking to me. But, you know, what I was going to say was that some of the things to look forward to, there's a lot of self-care things that are taking place inside that health fair gym that a lot of people might want to come down here and take advantage of as well. In addition, you know, when you get the business of the screening out of the way, there's some self-care.
Oh, there's self-care. I mean, we have a self-care area dedicated to that, so they could get a massage and different things like that. We also have our panel series. He had already mentioned as far as the Know the Facts was going to be on Sunday, but we just finished. They just concluded the faith panel, and then we have youth suicide prevention that's going to be Saturday. We also have knowing how to talk to the doctor, so how to be your best advocate when it comes to that. And then also, we're going to make sure that you are healthy entertained on our stage, as well as you can get food demonstrations, be empowered as far as facts. We had a naloxone training just a moment ago, so you know what to do even in that situation. And then again, we have our famous one stop one stick where you could come and one shot, you know, one opportunity, get all your blood work done. And so there's so many different things that you could take advantage of. And then it's for everybody. We have sports physicals that are going to take place today and tomorrow. We have back to school vaccinations. We're still doing COVID vaccinations as well. So people have the opportunity to be able to come, and everything is free, free. That's been my stuff. Free, 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 free.
Can't be any more free.
Free, 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 free. I don't know how else to say it. But,
yeah, couldn't be more free, could it?
Right.
And so, Jim, if anyone wants to find out more about the agency, what it does, and where they can get help with the agency, what's the website or contact info?
The encyclopedic website of our agency is in.gov/FSSA, but all of those programs that I told you about, On My Way Pre-K, Know the Facts, First Steps, I would just Google them, but they all have their own websites, onmywayprek.org, knowthefactsindiana.org is the one that we're really trying to drive people to through this panel discussion. First Steps Indiana
is
a great program.
So it is so great to see both of you.
Thank you so much for having us.
Well, thank you for being here. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Great to see you. And we have one more interview, Jim and Antoinette. And she is none other than the head of it all. You know, we're going to the grand finale, I guess, so to speak. Now, she comes over here and tells me how good the lunch was. I'm out of here. I'm going to be out of here. Everybody's been talking about it. She's taking pictures now with a lot of people, but we're talking about Tanya McKenzie. Antoinette, I will be seeing you, and you too, Jim. I'll see you guys Sunday and probably maybe even before that. I don't know.
I hope so.
But at least Sunday.
Thank you, my friend.
All right. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Good seeing you. Good seeing you. And so, again, we are awaiting the arrival of the president of Indiana Black Expo, Tanya McKenzie. She is here. She's making her way through here. There you go. How are you? How are you? How are you?
I am good. How are you?
You know, Tanya's smiling. You know, she's smiling. Because you know you're close to the end of your reign here and you're about to hand it over. But what a nice way to go out. This is beautiful.
Thank you.
This is beautiful. But here's the thing. I've been asking everybody. You were at the luncheon.
Mm-hmm.
Food was really good, wasn't it?
Yep.
Okay. How good was it?
It's real good.
I'm just teasing. You'd have to hear what everybody had.
Okay.
They were talking about it was fried chicken. It was really good.
Okay.
It was they all got the big piece of fried chicken.
Okay.
And they all came down here and told me about it because, of course, I didn't get to go to lunch because I'm working. So.
Okay. We could have brought you some chicken. We could have brought it out to you. We'll know that next year. That's a mental note for Alice. If you over here and you broadcast it live, we're going to bring you some chicken, so you got some.
But anyway, congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations indeed. And so the end of the year, that's it for you for this year?
Yes. So right now we're getting ready for Circle City Classic coming up at the end of September. And then December, that's it. That's it. Alice Watson, she'll step in January 1 of 2023.
Yeah, your heir apparent, Alice Watson, indeed. So, you couldn't have gone out on a better note. I mean, I saw the email blast from you thanking everyone because the corporate luncheon, the first time back in earnest, was sold out. Mm-hmm. How was that?
Amazing. And I think that goes to really the appreciation for the awardees that we were honoring this year. I mean, Mike Woodson, as soon as we sent that press announcement out, we really didn't have to do a lot with soliciting table purchasers. I mean, they just really kind of sold on their own. And so I think we had some amazing awardees this year to honor. Blair Underwood, I mean, you know, I grew up listening, you know, watching his different TV shows and films on the screen, and it was an honor to be able to, and you know, his activism as well on top of that, it was an honor to be able to honor him, and then GO Academy's receiving the Reverend Charles Williams Award. So it was a wonderful day.
So how long have you been at the helm here?
I have been in this role for 15 years. Prior to this, I served on the board of directors for 6 years, and then prior to that, I was their outside general counsel for 2. So if you add that 15 plus 8, I've been here for 23 years involved in
organizations. Oh, well, you're not going to get away from it then. You know that there's probably something after this, right?
I'm going to pass that baton and let some younger folks who have some fresh ideas and different things come in and work on the organization and grow it over the next 51 years.
What would you like your legacy to be, your 25-year legacy to be, all combined? What do you think?
To me, just IBE playing a stronger role in responding to the needs of the community with our youth and family programming that we do. I know, you know, everyone knows us from Summer Celebration and Circle City Classic, but those are fundraisers. Those are a means to an end. And a lot of what we do, the 45,000 square feet campus that we purchased on the east side of Indianapolis where we opened up the Performing Arts Academy, we have a new Black Box Theater in there. And the community, a lot of the community doesn't even know this yet, right? We're just now getting started. And that is to be a community hub for the community to really enjoy it.
I think that's a fairly decent legacy to leave there. I mean, my goodness, it's huge. You know, the space, the community space that's available, and it's yours.
It's ours.
It belongs to us.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we went in no debt. We didn't borrow to get it, and we're debt-free, and it's a huge community asset that we have.
So tell us about Alice. What can we expect with Alice?
You know, Alice is not Tanya.
Well, good, yeah, and you know what? I can understand that sentiment. I know what you mean. I know exactly what you mean when you say that.
And Alice is, she has a background with working, you know, she came from the state. She was appointed by a former governor with working with minority businesses for the state with IDOA. And so, you know, Alice has been here for the last 10 years, really, you know, overseeing our business initiatives with black-owned businesses, minority-owned businesses, and overseeing our entire operations. So, I mean, she's not new to this. She knows just how the machine runs, but she gets an opportunity to come in and do things differently, to build her own team, to get folks involved, and really put her footprint on the organization.
Well, you certainly have left yours here, and again, that building, that facility out there is just absolutely amazing. I wish more, and I think in the coming days, months, and years, people are going to know more about it and come to appreciate it as much as it should be appreciated. So, looking back on your past 25 years, could you have envisioned that IBE and Summer Celebration, Circle City Classic would be where it is today? And how do you envision the next 25 years? What do you see coming?
That is such a interesting question, because I would say no, I probably didn't envision it, just because we evolved as the community evolves, right?
Okay.
With where we are today, with the needs that are in the African American community today, you know, obviously we still are dealing with the same disparities that existed 40, 50 years ago. You know, as it relates to affordable housing and not owning our own homes, and you know, the medium incomes and the disparities there, just as it relates to social mobility. So in that aspect, as it relates to us responding to community needs, we're still, I mean, I feel like it's getting worse, and actually not better in certain circumstances. But with respect to where we are as an organization and the different programming and our strategic focus areas, they're different than they were 20 years ago. And I think that's been a challenge, if I'm very transparent, with respect to trying to uplift our year-round programs, mm-hmm. and when the community and certain stakeholders know us for the free concert. And so
it's
trying
coming up tonight, by
absolutely,
the way.
And we're going to be out there celebrating with Aunt Patty, but just wanting to level our programs and elevate them so that they have the importance and that the community knows what we're doing there. So I don't want to say it's been a shift, because Indiana Black Expo Bowl, even before my time, is always focused on youth development, mm-hmm. and youth and family programs, but more of how do we highlight and really, really kind of go deeper in our response.
If you had to identify one particular most urgent community need, what would you say that is?
I think right now, education. I mean, I just came out of an education conference, and, you know, I'm not one to look at test scores. I mean, we just heard from GO Academies with some awesome work that the students are doing. Mm-hmm. And so, test scores are only one sort of indicator. So I don't put a lot into test scores, but where we are, I mean, it is an indicator. We can't ignore it. Mm-hmm. Education is key. We got to make sure that our children know how to read by the third grade. I mean, it is literacy is big, and really kind of focusing on literacy and making sure that those opportunities, not just for access to education, but any pathway, right? Yeah. I mean, there are different pathways, whether or not a certificate, but in order for us to climb that social ladder, that social mobility ladder, we got to hone in on this education issue. Mm-hmm. And so I would say, I mean, obviously we're really focused on the economic
empowerment
and the supporting, you know, entrepreneurs and creating entrepreneurs and all of that, but it starts with education.
Yeah, if you have no education, then all of that is for naught, absolutely. So, Tanya, what are you going to do? December 31st into January, what's Tanya McKenzie going to do after she hands over the baton to Alice Watson?
You know, it's interesting because I've been getting that a lot, and so I am going to start my own business. You know, what I said is, you know, here we are, we're training businesses. We talk about generational wealth. I've been doing this for 15 years, and I wouldn't change anything about it. God has blessed me with this assignment and this opportunity. But it's about generational wealth. So I'm starting to think, what does that mean for my family? And I will be starting a consulting firm and doing a lot of some of the stuff that I do in this role, but from a strategy, more of a strategy standpoint, with a lot of partners and clients.
Favorite moment?
Favorite moment. Oh my God, Tina, I should have came prepared. I know there's probably so many of them. One example is what just happened at the corporate luncheon when those students came up on the stage. My favorite moments are not tied to entertainment or any of the other things. They're tied to when you have a music production class and the youth are in the class and they are don't want to leave the office, right?
Right.
And I'm in there waiting on parents to pick them up, and they're 45 minutes late and the students are there. My favorite moments, they're more personal with respect to our youth and our families.
Anything you want to say to the community?
Absolutely. I just want to thank the community for just the support of the organization, not even the support of Tanya McKenzie or Tanya Bell, the support of Indiana Black Expo. I have always said from the beginning that Indiana Black Expo has always been covered by God, and it's going to continue to strive. There's no one that is indispensable. We all have our assignments.
Yes, we do.
The next Tanya is going to come in, and we're going to keep it moving. And so I just want to tell them thank you from the bottom of my heart for all of the support that they have given to this organization over the last 52 years.
Thank you for all you've done, Tanya. Great job.
Thank you
so much. And we appreciate you. Go on and enjoy this last year. See, she's still smiling. See, people transitioning always had this semi-smile on their face, but it's nice. It is just wonderful, and congratulations. I am so very happy for you, and I'm looking forward to working with Alice.
Thank you. Looking forward to it.
I'm sure she is. I hope she gets well. She was telling me about her knee.
She's limping around here.
She's making it. Okay. Tanya, thank you so much, and congratulations. And again, that is outgoing IBE President Tanya McKenzie, Tanya Bell McKenzie, and having a great summer celebration, a great start to summer celebration already. So we want to thank her for joining us on the show today. And again, congratulations. That's all that we have for right now down here at the Indiana Convention Center. Again, I'd like to thank our live broadcast sponsors for today, Eskenazi Health. We'll be back in the studio on Monday with a wrap-up of the weekend's events and more. We're always right here on WTLC AM 1310, 92.7 FM, and 95.1 FM The Light. Don't forget about our website, praiseindy.com. You can follow us on Facebook, on Twitter. We are at Community Indy. Willie Moore Jr. on the radio is up next. Thank you again for joining us for our very special live broadcast here at the Indiana Convention Center. Please, everybody, be safe and be well, and we will talk to you again on Monday. I'm Tina Cosby, and this is Community Connection.